and welcome to Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing early for us on Wednesday morning. And there is a reason why we're doing it Wednesday morning instead of yesterday and posting it today. And that's because Mark J. Spears from Manscaped is joining us from Washington, D.C. And Mark, first off, thank you for coming on early in the morning. I saw you got your big cup of coffee there.
But you know what? I always come on early in the morning.
You know what? You are right.
Depends on where I am.
Right. This time it's early for me, too. Yeah. You're in D.C. because you went to the White House with the Warriors yesterday. Out of all the things to do in the NBA that you have a chance to do with the NBA teams, I've done them all.
Yeah.
Except for going to the White House. The teams that I've covered who have gone, it's never worked out schedule-wise. So I don't know how many times you've gone. It's an interesting experience. I just want if you could tell us a little bit about the day.
Well, it's interesting you say that too, because my high school basketball coach, Dennis Fernandez, like, he texted me this morning, and he's a veteran, and he was like, wow, you got the first. And yet on Monday, let me preface it by saying on Monday I went to MLK Day in D.C. and I got to meet Martin Luther King Jr.'s son, talk to him a little bit, take a picture with him. But yeah, and then another buddy of mine, Jason Allen, he's like, so it's interesting. The reaction of other people showed me how big it was. He's like, is that the biggest thing you ever did? And my mom even texts me, and she don't say nothing. She's like, wow, I'm so proud. And I'm like, okay, what I got to do yesterday was pretty cool, right? And
Right. So, what a week for you. And then on Wednesday, the Hoop Collective. My God, what a week.
I know. And I went to a wedding in Jackson Hole, Wyoming over the weekend.
I did see that. I saw that on the socials.
Yeah.
I also saw you wearing a cowboy hat.
Brian, can I tell you something? Never thought I would like it. Something about putting that hat on, man, just felt different.
You were posing, too.
Yeah.
You were posing, man.
I had my flask. Like a happy... It was the wedding was outdoors, so they gave us a shout out to Kyle and Bryn. They gave us a flask of whiskey. How can you not get in the mood when you got a cowboy hat in Wyoming outside with a flask of whiskey
in January?
Come on, man.
How cold was it?
It was 28. It wasn't bad to me because it wasn't windy.
But Michael Eves
could have sworn it was like an Arctic freeze out there, man. He's being really, really dramatic the whole time.
How many people in America are in Wyoming on the weekend and at the White House on Tuesday? I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Obviously, I'm sure it's happened, but it's it's not a normal week.
No, you know? No, that's not. And I really appreciate it and honored by it. But to go to the White House, it was certainly probably up there. You know, I've covered the Olympics. I've gone to the Basketball Africa League in Senegal. I went with the Kings and Pacers to India. But, like, as you walk up to the White House, man, it's just different, man, because you're not supposed to step foot there, right? And to get close to it, especially now. So to first be in the interview room, I'm messing it up. It's called something else where they do all the press.
The briefing room. Yeah.
That was some weird stuff, bro. Cause like we go in there and all the seats had name tags underneath the seats. But it was empty when we got there. You know, all us NBA junkies were there at writers thinking we're cool. We're there. We're sitting in all these seats. We're like, you know, Huffington Post, they're not coming to this. You know what I mean? Like, man, they're just like that veteran reporter who knows when to show up at practice. About 5 minutes before the thing started, all of a sudden about 50 people showed up talking about get the hell out of our seats.
Right.
So we had to jump out, got out of their seat, and then like Steph came up, Kurt came up, which I found out that it's not really often that celebrities go to the press briefing room. And so they did their little thing. God, I'm gonna mess up.
Say it was unusual to see. We're so not used to seeing coaches in suits anymore. It was unusual to see Steve Kerr in a suit.
I miss it.
I was like, I haven't seen Steve Kerr in a suit in literally years.
I forgot about that part. And then so they did. They talked for about 5 minutes. They leave, but we're still in the room. Then the real world came back. They're asking about Biden, stuff that's happening around the world. It's starting to get tense. Press secretary is going back at the reporters.
Oh, yeah.
She's picking who to ask questions to. I was like, man, I exited, bro. I exited.
Like, I'm not here for geopolitics.
That's why I cover sports. You know what I mean? And I slipped out the back door and kind of waited for about an hour for the Warriors thing to start. And shout out to Whitley Sandretto. She's going to get mad at me for telling this story. She's a radio reporter in the Bay Area who came out with, she's with KNBR. I'm sorry, 95.7 Game. And so she had an escort pass, which means somebody had to escort her around. So that door where the press briefing was, the back door, there was a bathroom there, and she had to use the bathroom. So the door opened, and she tried to go through. This guard came out and started screaming at her. You need to get back. You need to get back. She's like, I'm just going to use the bathroom. You have to wait till an escort comes to use the bathroom.
Man. They don't mess around.
I was like, dang.
They don't mess around. I tell you, that's one place they don't mess around.
Uh-uh. And, hey, and typically somebody would have stood up for her. Nobody not said then, a thing. Man.
Nope. You hold it.
It was actually a big drain by that door. And I said, Whitley, if it gets too bad, just messing with her and everything. But she said, so then we walk in to the East Room, which I did some research on. It was an interesting place. When JFK died, that's where they put his body, was in the East Room. And that's also where the Civil Rights Act was signed. So it was a room that George Washington helped develop. And you're like walking in and you're thinking about like all the history that took place there. Man, I'm a history buff. And I'm like,
I mean, there's been 1,000 giant events in the East Room. I mean, it's the gathering room of the White House.
Yeah.
I
mean, dances, recitals,
state dinners.
Like that's what all I kept thinking about. And then I look in the back and I see Too Short. I see E-40 rapper, Mr. Fab. Sway, you know, and I'm like, okay, this is turned into a Bay Area event all of a sudden. Like all these Oakland rappers and hip hop guys start showing up, which was cool. San Francisco Mayor London Breed, and then so the event was, it was just cool. It was standing room only. Obviously, I didn't have a seat, but just to be a part of that was just like every second I was there, it was just amazing. Then it's like, I didn't get that picture though, Brian. The podium picture.
Yeah.
Because when we went to the press briefing room, we were so like nervous and like scared.
Yeah, that was the time to do it. The time to do it was when you first walked in there. Yeah.
And I didn't realize that till later. You know, I didn't want to be that person that, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I should have did it. But I did get a picture with Roy Wood Jr., comedian, and we talked about his Hamburger Chronicles, which you got to see on YouTube, which is pretty funny. So, but no, all in all, I got my White House picture. Biden was certainly interesting when he got on one knee.
I don't quite understand what was going on there, but okay. Yeah.
But the most interesting question too. You'll like this, Brian, and I think I'm gonna mess with Steve from now on about it, is because it's not just sports reporters. Obviously, there's people trying to talk about what's going on in the world and the states. This guy looked at Steve Kerr and goes, "There were gang members that killed a family in Fresno, Steve. What are you going to do to stop gang members from killing people?
Jeez. I mean, you know, I'm not downplaying it, but, you know, it's yeah, a heck of a thing.
No, I'm not downplaying it. You know, like, who do you think he is, God? Like, how's he going to stop that?
I mean, jeez.
Steve,
I'm going up to Capitol Hill right now.
Yeah, and but Steve didn't. He did meet, you know, if there is a coach that's fighting against gun violence, it's Steve Kerr. And for he sure. And Clay Thompson and Moses Moody met with some congressmen in the White House about, you know, gun violence and stuff like that. And everybody knows the story of his father being murdered overseas. But, like, even Steve was like, whoa. I'm just trying to enjoy my championship, man. I'm not trying to hear the – I can't come here to save the world.
Well, one thing, I mean, there's very rarely any levity in the White House. But one thing I did notice as I was watching videos of it was there was quite a few, like, you know, senators and congressmen who made part of their day to come get into that stuff. You can always tell who the sports fans are.
Yeah. Pelosi's husband was there, which was interesting. He had a hat on. You know the story about what happened to him.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, which was certainly a big deal in my neck of the woods. So,
and like Kamala Harris, she told stories about, you know, she's a Warriors fan, and yeah. She told stories about going to games. She told one story about she was stuck in traffic. She was the Attorney General of California.
Yeah.
What was that story she told?
She said I wonder where she got out of the car.
I will say it did make me ask some continual questions, but I just decided not to analyze it.
I got
to
get to ask a follow-up about it. I was like, okay, where was this at? And, you know, San Francisco could have some horrible traffic just getting out of there. But you know what? On a BART train in the afternoon or early evening.
The story was she was in her official car or whatever, and she was trying to get to the game. I think she said it was a playoff game, right? I think that's what she said.
Yeah, yeah. Which means it might have been earlier. It might have been a 5 o'clock game, or I don't know.
I mean,
if it was finals, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to analyze the story.
There's probably some holes to the story, but it sounded good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long time. I don't know when she was Attorney General of California. There was a long time when the Warriors weren't making the playoffs, but okay.
Yeah.
If it happened in the last 10 years. And she said she got on a BART train. She got tired of sitting in traffic, and so she jumped out of the car and got on a BART train to get there, which is a good way to go to a Warriors game.
I don't even ride
BART. At least it was. Not anymore.
You heard me? I don't even ride BART, Brian.
Here's the problem.
You know what? I would if it was an emergency. And she said her security detail probably was certainly nervous about it, which probably means it was in recent years.
Yeah,
there certainly could have been an incident.
Well, the thing about riding BART, you know, for those of us who work the games, is if you got there on BART, you got done at the end of the night. Now you got to go back. And
you better get a cab.
Yeah, well, there were some late nights in Oakland. You know, after the Cavs won the 2016 title there, you know, I worked deep into the night and I came out to the... And my car was locked in a parking lot, and I had a flight in like 3 hours. It was just locked in, you know.
I had that happen to me like once. I'm trying to remember what you had to do to get out.
Well,
I think you had to go on the opposite end or something like that.
I won't bore you with the details, but it
took
was
a
not,
while.
I won't bore you with the details. Okay. People don't want to hear that. They want to talk about the NBA. So the
to finish on that,
yeah,
I wish I could ask her. If I ever get a chance to meet her, I'm gonna ask for details of that story.
Yeah, she said the train was jam packed with all the fans going to the game.
They may not have recognized her.
I mean, who knows? I don't.
If she put on a hat,
I don't know who the Attorney General of my state is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this was a vice president thing, because at that point they were already in San Francisco. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always a cool day, and it's a real memorable day. And, you know, some of those Warriors guys have been there multiple times. But
no, I won't... well, no, it's only the second time.
Oh, really?
They missed it twice.
Ah, right. There was Trump was in office for a while, right?
So that's what also made it a big deal for them is,
right?
You know, they there was two opportunities that they decided not to go. But I will say this, going to back to basketball, that Washington win was much needed for them. I still think that Wiggins isn't Wiggins yet, but I feel like Steph broke through. To go back to how he was looking before.
Yeah, he had 41, right?
Yeah. And then Draymond kind of woke up too. He found these fans. I was actually walking behind the bench and Draymond screaming at these dudes, man. And he's like, "Thanks for waking me up from this whack ass game. Thanks for waking right. me up from this whack ass game." And I'm like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Right. And Steph was saying, like, Draymond had like 2 threes in the fourth quarter, played great. So he was saying that he hopes that they bottle up these two great days. You know, the way they played on Monday, these good vibes, and take it on with them. But next is Boston.
Right. Well, so Draymond, so that game, so first off, Bradley Beal is out.
Yeah.
And the Warriors are in, or the Wizards are in, I don't know if I want to say free fall, but they...
You got to win that game.
The Warriors, the Wizards have been, you know, they were impressive with their scrappiness early, and the injuries, particularly to Beal, have just devastated them, and they're just losing yeah. like crazy. That's a game the Warriors have to win. Yeah. Draymond said after the game that he just had no energy. Yeah. He wasn't into it at all, and that those guys, I think... What Draymond said was one of the guys was saying that you'll never make the Hall of Fame. And I can't believe you ever said it. Yeah. And that fired him up. And, you know, apparently after the game or when the game was in hand, Bob Myers, who was sitting nearby, the team president, came down and like thanked the fans, and that Joe Lacob came over and offered to bring the fans with them to Boston. Yeah. And I know that they were joking, but I actually think that like they were
telling some truth.
I mean, they were 4-17 on the road.
Yeah.
Whatever it took to get them a road win.
Yeah.
They, I think, were genuinely happy about it.
Yeah. I know after the game, they just seem to be a different vibe about them. You know, they've had some... bad, you know, as bad as they've been on the road, they've had some really bad home losses lately too, to some bad teams.
Yeah,
and they, so even though
that
this
homestand
was
wasn't good,
yeah. A no Beal Wizard, which who he was a scratch day of, and I hear he's going to play. I think they play New York next. I think he'll come back against New York. I'm pretty confident of that, but. They needed this. They needed this. Not you ain't coming, you know. I do expect them to come ready against Boston, or they're going to be embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean that's a really big game. I've thought that this could be this whole road trip. I felt like had a chance to be a good experience for them. And their next three games are Boston, Cleveland, and Brooklyn. Now Brooklyn is wheezing. They just lost. Now Kyrie's got a calf injury. They lost Tuesday night in San Antonio. That's not good. They're 0-3 since Durant got hurt. But I don't know about that. And now the Cavs don't have Donovan Mitchell. He's got a groin issue. He's not playing Wednesday night in Memphis. So I don't know if he's going to be
ready for
that game.
The Warriors could scratch out two or three wins off of this. That could be season changing.
I agree.
Because they're getting healthier. I think Kuminga will be back soon. I think Wiseman will be back soon. So now, Brian, like the Warriors are getting healthy, but I don't know that I've remembered a season with this many injuries. Man. We probably say this every year, but it does seem like a lot.
I can't explain it. I can't explain it because the players have never been more protected. There's never been more time off. The schedule.
They've never had better doctors. They've never had better.
Right. I, you know. I'm not smart enough. I don't know the data enough to say anything, but how can you not pay attention to the, to just the difference? Forget about, I don't even want to hear about the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like 10, 15 years ago. I mean, yeah, that is our time. You know, I don't, you know, who knows what those guys were doing in the 80s and 90s. Okay. But, you know, when I've been around the teams, it's just not something I've seen. It's not something I've seen. That said, I'm pretty convinced that a lot of these injuries are from overwork. Like, for example, Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs were playing him crazy heavy minutes.
Yeah.
And they had to. They were thin at guard. Darius Garland had gotten banged up. They played a whole bunch of overtime games, and he was just playing straight through.
Just coming back.
Yeah. And so, like, Donovan was, like, top three in minutes for the first couple of months. He'd never played more minutes in his career than he was playing this year. So he's got this groin injury, which I don't think happened in the game the other night. I think he's been dealing with it for a while. And there's just so many minutes, like, you're more susceptible to that. That is probably a fatigue-related injury. So, and have you ever seen so many calf strains in the NBA?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the injury data, but it just feels anecdotally, I can't believe how many players are getting calf injuries.
Yeah.
It's not really the time or place for this. I do want to say this. So Draymond gave an interview to Kendra Andrews, our Kendra Andrews, where he talked about last year, the trash talk in Boston affecting him at a different level during the finals. Mm-hmm. Now, I am not Draymond Green. I didn't hear what he heard. He basically said he was being called slurs repeatedly. I hope that Draymond, I mean, I'm a little bit, Draymond was awful early in the finals. And as you remember, was benched down the stretch of a game and even benched at a key point in game six. And then they brought him back and ended up working. I hope he's not trying to slough off blame for the way he played. Having said that, he basically, you know, made a pretty strong accusation. And it's very disappointing to hear, but he basically said that the trash talk in Boston, even this is a guy who thrives on trash talk, literally Monday night is thanking fans for trash talk helping him. He is saying that the trash talk in Boston last year during the finals threw him off in a way that it took him out of his game. And I mean, that's remarkable. I don't know what to make of that. And I don't know what those comments are going to do for him. I hope it's, I don't know.
I don't going to make it any easier, but,
well, I hope they're not saying, I mean, I believe anything I hear because I've seen fan behavior. But that it's disappointing. If Draymond felt that way.
Yeah, no. And, I covered the Celtics for 2 years.
Yeah. You love the
Boston. I've been around Boston fans. You know, back then we used to get really good seats. Yeah. So my seats were right next to the bench. But I was on the Celtics side.
Yeah.
So I never really would hear what they would say to the visiting team, right? Or what people would say. Which is interesting because over on that side, there's more money. I mean, on the close to the players, it's money people, people with money, right? There's,
but, big expensive seats, yeah.
You know, I'll never forget Lamar Odom being at the free throw line during the finals 2010 and somebody chanting or the fans chanting ugly sister because of the Kardashian he was dating at the time.
By the way, winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win, wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Obviously, having,
having spoken to her in years, but Chloe was around Cleveland a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She used to be there all the time. Tristan. That's probably your homegirl. You could probably text her right now.
I'm not saying that we had long conversations, but
you seem like a nice lady.
I thought she was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get why
from what I was told, and you could explain this better than me, there was not, she didn't really like a lot of fuss around her when she was there.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, this is too much information, but in Cleveland, the way it used to be, the family room was in between the media room and the locker room.
Yeah.
And so we were, you know, these days that's not allowed, you know, they've moved it around and it's probably for the better, I guess. But like for many years, we got along just fine. It wasn't like we were going into the family room and going, what do you, does your son want to be traded? Occasionally we would, I remember one night when the Cavs decided they weren't picking up Shannon Brown's option for the next season. And it was like right at the first week of the season. Yeah. And his dad was not happy and he let the Cavs front office have it and sort of in the front of, I remember that, you know, but, you know, we would see the family members, we would sort of be in the same hallway with them. And it used to be like that way in Golden State too, right? In Oakland, it was kind of like nearby.
Yeah. It was like the locker room was the same place where you would go to I think it was called the Mercedes Lounge or something like that. So they changed that.
Yeah, that was wild. The setup at Oracle was a little bit antiquated. It did create that cool tunnel that Steph would make shots out of. But
yeah,
once you went down that tunnel,
go ahead.
Once you went down, just to tell people probably remember that tunnel. So there was, you know, instead of there being like, you know, in the corners of the building in Oakland, there was just this one tunnel that went right to the locker room. But once you went back there, there was an intersection where if you went straight, that was the Warriors locker room. But that intersection was like where all these fans were to go in these clubs. And that, you know, that tunnel wasn't very wide And when they designed the building, they didn't think there'd be hundreds of fans coming. I mean, they probably designed where the BMW club, I think it was,
was popping in a BMW club, man.
Yeah, it was where you went after the game. Yeah. You know, where are you going to go in Oakland? You're in the middle of, you know. I mean,
there's places to glow, but not over there. Not in East Oakland.
Well, I just remember at the end years in Oakland, there was only one thing open.
The Chinese restaurant we used to go to?
No, it was that gigantic marijuana emporium across Hirschberger Road. That was open. But anyway.
You put me on something. I didn't know about this.
Well, I didn't go there, but I certainly saw it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the families in Cleveland, it was close to the media. And so like a couple times I talked to Chloe and she's a very nice person.
No. I thought that was pretty, look, I'm all for fans chanting and ref sucks and stuff like that. But I did think that was a little crossing the line, man. Like,
I would say so.
Yeah, come on, man. And Lamar was good about kind of just brushing it off and moving on.
Well, I just think in general, my view on fans is say anything you want about the game.
Yeah.
Personal, you know.
Yeah. Which is what, like, Steph even said about the fans on Monday in Washington. He said, you know, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. It was just good trash talk. And I remember when Washington, was it Ficker? Robin Ficker. They used to have one of the greatest.
Yeah, they did a I remember they did a Sports Illustrated piece about him. He sat right behind the Bullets bench. The visiting team.
There was a guy in Detroit, and there was Mark Anthony Jones in Oakland, the three best I ever saw. And Robin Ficker, I don't know what I think his name was Robin Ficker. He once read the Jordan rules behind him while Jordan was on the pitch. He was reading the book, like excerpts from the book. And it just while Jordan was playing for the Bulls, and like it's, you could just see his teammates just die laughing, man. Some of the stuff he was reading.
You got to be crazy to trash talk Michael Jordan. You got to be crazy.
But he wasn't even trash talking. He was just reading this book. Right. When I was a child, like you know,
yeah. Well, like I said,
but with Draymond, man, like he's pretty transparent, dude. I know at Celtics games, people close, you typically have money, don't say much, but Draymond's not one to lie. You don't make that up. So something happened that wasn't right.
No, I'm not saying he made it up.
I'm not either. What I'm saying is though, that when they hate you in that place, there's going to be some things said, and it might have been in the tunnel. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
But for him to say like, "Hey, we're practicing in Washington. We want to be there as little as possible."
Well, that's
to bother Draymond that much is telling. Like something happened.
I agree. I question whether that was a real reason why he struggled, but if he says it is, what am I supposed to say? But
yeah.
He
struggled extraordinarily in those finals to the point where I'm not saying he's some sharpshooter by any means, because he's not, and I think he'd acknowledge that. But he affects the game in so many ways, and that's the first time I saw him rattle.
Yeah, and you know, he was doing his podcast at the time, which I don't care about. People are giving him crap about that. I don't care about it, but he was like sort of pouring himself out about it. I'm like, I'm not sure this is the best idea. But in the end, he contributed to them winning. Steve Kerr at the end did trust him. He pulled back on the trust a little bit, you know, to protect the team a little bit. There were other guys playing better. But in the end, he did put him back in the game. And he made positive plays he said it was a beautiful story to win in Boston. You know, very few teams in history, I think only a couple have ever clinched in Boston. You know, the Lakers did. And you know what I thought was interesting about the Warriors when they won the title last year, they had their party. Their post-game party, they had it in the building. They didn't go anywhere else. They were like, let's just keep it right here. They had a space where they had their party in the building. You know, a lot of times, if you do it on the road, the Warriors, you know, won in Cleveland a few times. You know, there's a restaurant or something that they have set up.
Yeah.
This time they were like, no, we're just going to stay right here. We're going to stay in these four walls. Where we know everything's fine.
Like Toronto, they celebrated at a restaurant in San Francisco, which was after the last game in Oakland. I think it was Epic Steakhouse. I think they went there.
Well, the Cavs flew to Vegas, if you remember.
Yeah. Which was really like incredible.
Yeah, that was
next. Like the whole team went, or just the players?
I mean, the team playing went to, I mean, who knows? I mean, but
yeah,
you know, they had like whatever club it was. I think it was at the Wynn or Encore. I can't remember, but like all the workers and everything there were like all dressed up, ready for the party. Like they had prearranged it. Obviously, you know, if they had lost, they just would have, but they all had t-shirts and everything. Like, they went all out. And that was an interesting story, because that night, in the locker room, like it started spreading. You know, I never went into a locker room after all the finals I've covered, because I don't really, I think it's important for the cameras to go in there, because the cameras to see, that's really great for the fans. The fans could live vicariously. And, you know, even the players want the footage of them celebrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm totally fine with the cameras going and capturing the celebration. I don't like going in there as a media member because, frankly, people who aren't really around the team all year try to get in and
it's celebrate with them and all that.
But
only
that
time
one time
I went in and was Cleveland late, like late afterwards, trying to get quotes and stuff.
Well, 2016 was such a special moment, and I knew I was going to write a book.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to go in for that one. But I remember, number one, it became known, like in, they started telling, you know, obviously it was a secret they were going to Vegas. They started telling each other.
This is a game seven, too.
Yeah, they've just won game seven.
Wasn't it a matinee kind of game?
No, it was Sunday.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Had to have been.
Yeah.
I know that when I got there was an A's game going on. I remember that. They started to talk. First off, there were two things going on. I mean, other than like the smoking cigars and the champagne. One, they were looking at videos on social media of what was happening in downtown Cleveland. They were, while people were watching the Cavs celebrate, the Cavs were watching the fans celebrate. I'll always remember that. They were laughing at some of the stuff they were seeing. Secondly, when it was passing through the locker room that they were about to go to Vegas, the reaction was like pretty crazy because it's kind of a crazy thing.
The players didn't know?
They didn't know till after the game. You know, they didn't tell them before the game.
Oh,
okay, wow. We're going to cover Steph Curry on the pick and roll this way. And by the way, when we're going to Vegas, they didn't say. They just planned it in secret.
They told them
after the game. I don't know what we got accomplished here today, Spears. But
no, that's good. A lot of good inside baseball stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing about winning a championship is it's such a huge accomplishment. And I know it's not like getting a breakthrough drug to treat cancer. I mean, just put the perspective aside here, but it's such a huge professional accomplishment, and winning it takes so many different things to go your way that even if you're a team like the Warriors, who've won it multiple times, I am a big believer in celebrating the hell out of it.
No question.
And
no question.
Not only that night, but celebrate it for months, celebrate it for years. I'm not saying that on a Tuesday night, you know, in Charlotte, you should still be celebrating the previous June, but it's so hard to do that it should be commemorated.
No question. And I don't think fans realize how hard it is. Like, it's 30 teams. And not only do you have to be great, but you have to be healthy and you got to be lucky.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Playoffs itself, just that 2 months of the playoffs.
Got to be the longest in sports, right?
It's such a physical, emotional, and mental. I mean, like when we do it, we are not playing one lick. It is completely exhausting for us to cover a playoff run.
Oh, yeah.
When we are done with a playoff run, we collapsed.
I had some, not pneumonia, but some, what's another thing that, like,
bronchitis
after the Celtics won in 2008, they had played like 27 road games and they went to Europe before the season.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Italy and Rome.
Yeah.
I mean, Rome and England, London. And so I think I saw like over 100 games.
Yeah.
Like, and I was.
Well, remember the first two rounds, they went seven games in the first two rounds. That year was hardly a smooth playoff sail. Yeah. Right.
And and we're not on, not making, you know, crying like a baby for us journalists, but, you know, we're not flying with the team.
Right. I don't think people understand that. People are like, you don't fly with the team? Hell no.
No, this ain't the 80s when they used to do that all the time.
I know. That was a completely different time. So I'm just saying, like, once you do that accomplishment, like, savor it forever. Savor it the entire summer. Because, you know, and I've even told this, not that I should be doling out advice, but, you know, because I've seen teams that don't enjoy it and then it's a mistake. And I've even sort of told teams have won it, people on teams, like, enjoy this.
Yeah,
no question. don't have a draft meeting in 3 days, because teams do that. You know,
another cool thing too is, and I always talk about as a journalist, man, like, Brian, we're like so blessed to cover. I always say, somebody says, "Oh, are you tired?" and blah blah blah. I'm like, I cover basketball for a living, man.
Right.
Like, we write about basketball for a living. Like,
yeah, you were able to leave when they were asking questions about the Ukraine, about supplying arms to the Ukraine. Yeah, yeah. I mean, trust me.
So the reason why I say that is, I think for a lot of young kids, they got to realize there's so many jobs in sports. You can work for the Warriors without playing for the Warriors, right? And so the Warriors, and you know this, Brian, same thing happened with Cavs and all the teams. When a team wins, it's not just the players that get rings.
Oh,
it's all
there's
their employees that
rings,
get rings.
200
I mean,
rings.
They don't get the same one as the players.
Doesn't matter.
They get
matter.
A ring too. So, so even the employees get to feel like champions. You know, I don't know any other job that you could have where you could get a championship ring than if you work for a team or you work for a school, right, that wins everything. Like, I'm sure the University of Georgia's staff gets the ring too, right? You know?
Well, you know, my first year as a full-time sports writer, I was just thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, when DeMar Hamlin went down. My fourth or fifth week, Friday Night Football, a player, a 15-year-old young man, I still remember his name, Joshua Miller, collapsed and died on the field. And I went to the hospital and put on my news writing hat. And I can still, to this day, I mean, this was 24 years ago. And I can still remember to this day being in the ER, being with the coach and the other players and the, and everything like that. It's a terrible, terrible memory. And it was an awful, awful event, not to bring everything down, but it was, and I knew, you know, I covered the story that night and everything. And I just knew that, like, not that I had a desire ever, but I knew that night, I was like, I'm not doing this.
No, man.
This isn't what my life is going to be. And the people who do it, completely different discipline. you know, yesterday there's a lot of stuff that happens politically in Washington and at the White House that is very intense, but yesterday,
that's why I went out of that room, man.
Yesterday was not that day.
I will say this real quick. Your story was best to saw the kid passing away. Life cut short. I covered the space shuttle blowing up.
You did?
So when I was covering the Nuggets.
Oh, the one that was coming, not the one in the 80s, the second one that was coming.
The second one. So I remember I got a call from my sports editor in Dallas to cover a Warriors Mavs game. And he's like, hey, he calls me at 7:30 in the morning, tells me to turn on the TV. And I see this space shuttle stuff. And he goes, I said, wow, is it the anniversary today? I think it's late January. And he goes, no, it happened again over Texas. And I was like, oh, shoot, I'm not covering a basketball game today, man. And I went with
bringing,
my
we're, We're bringing uncle, down the pot at the end here, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm sorry. I went with my uncle, God rest his soul, Joe Armont Squeak. We call him Squeak. And we drove from Dallas to Nacogdoches, Texas.
Oh, man.
And I had to cover the space shuttle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yesterday was a better day.
Yeah, no, it was, that was one of the yeah. cool days where, you know, it's funny, like I sometimes wonder, man, we get to do so many cool things and we have so many stories, man. And I don't think people really ask us enough. I think our friends are jaded by us. They don't ask us enough, you know.
Well, we'll see if this is a unifying little thing for the Warriors. They need it. I do think it's the time for them to go. They're not, you know, if they want to come back there next year, it's you know, they need to start going. And so these next three games,
the whole West, it's weird. West yeah. is a weird place.
We're out of time, but we were going to talk about the Clippers, but the Clippers are now 500 and they play, I think, 9 of their next 10 on the road. So, you know, the Lakers are still hovering there, and that's because they're looking at teams around them that are still taking losses. So there are still people in the league who honestly believe that the Lakers could still make the playoffs straight out, not through the play-in.
I believe it.
That the Warriors are still the team to beat in the West. And the reason they're saying that is because not just because of those teams, but they're also looking around. Meanwhile, I know Memphis is beating their chest. They're like, what are you crazy? They're going for a team record 11 straight win tonight. Yeah. And they're number one defense in the league. And they're like, everybody who keeps saying the West is soft, you know, take that. Denver's defense the last 10, 12 games has been top 10.
But you know what,
they're
Brian,
getting better.
And this is said respectfully to Denver and Memphis. You got to do it first before we're going to believe it.
That's the whole
thing. Sounds good. Regular season sounds good. Get to that finals. And then, you know what I mean? Like until I see them do it, like if everybody's healthy, do you think they'd beat the Warriors in the 7-game series?
I know how Ja and Des Bane.
I know
and,
how they feel.
Dylan Brooks.
I respect them.
And Jaren Jackson
They've pumped their chests, but you got to do it still. And when they
that's what we watch for.
They got the talent to do it. But with Denver and Memphis, they both had the talent. I need to see them do it.
Maybe you'll be at the White House with the Grizzlies next year or the Nuggets. All right. Thanks, Spears. Thanks for your time.
Very
safe
possible.
Travels. Thank you to Jackson, our producer, for getting up early. We'll
Where's
be
Jackson
back
at?
Talking. He's in Connecticut. He's in Bristol.
Early. Man, stop. Come on. It's not Pat Jackson on the back for that. You know,
Jackson's in Hawaii. He got up at 3 a.m.
Man. He's doing a great job.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you with the Tims on Friday.